meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you. So it's 5th of May, IDN guidelines call, and we have Ram, Satish, Jan, Dennis, Chris, Edmund, and Sarmad on the call. Over to you, Edmund.
Thank you, Sarmad. And thank you, everyone, for joining. This is another session for the IDN implementation guidelines. And we again have a fairly small gathering. And just before voting started, I was saying that the original plan, based on the where we left off last time, was to jump into the document that Sarmad has now drafted based on our previous discussion. And walk through that and put in our preliminary recommendations, I guess. But given the continual low participation, I think we should immediately try to touch on that as a first item first. So since Marrakesh, we have restarted this bi-weekly meeting in a different time than previous, if I remember correctly. And it seems like the participation has dropped a little bit. Should that be of concern? Any ideas, thoughts for trying to do better? Is it because the time zone time slot is not easy for those who want to participate? Or something like that. I wonder. Sorry for putting you, on the table so much. But I wonder if there was any indication from previous doodles about issues of this sort, and other people. If you want to chime in, please just put your hand up. Sarmad, any thoughts or ideas on? Or any
So I did not hear any feedback. Generally, I think the time we started seemed to be okay for most of the people. We do have 6 people on the call, which is I think we're missing the co-chairs, but beyond that, I think it's a reasonable number. If you would like, I could reach out to the people who are not joining and find out more whether we can, if it's a time or if it's something else, if something else is the reason, then I can come back.
Thank you so much. I guess based on that, I just want to make sure that people are comfortable that we push forward. We're supposed to have about 12 members, 11. We do have 6 of us here, so it's actually, looking at the numbers, not that bad. I guess my suggestion, of course, is to push forward. But I do note, Jen, your note on the chat. And, let's from now that we have a document, I think it will work better for the main list to work out some of the comments coming in as well. So with that, any other thoughts or concerns before we jump into the document? Okay, hearing none and seeing no hand up, let's jump in right into the document. Last time we met, we kind of decided that the 6 topics that were identified should be fleshed out a little bit more with some preliminary even if not recommendations, some direction towards what the recommendations might be before the initial report should go out for public a set of public comments. Timeline-wise, we are not looking at doing this before Helsinki. We will try to use Helsinki as a working session and hopefully come to a document shortly after Helsinki. At least that's the plan from last time, just recapping. So that's where we are, and let's jump into the document, I guess. So and Samad, I'm hoping to get a little bit of your lead on this since you drafted and put it together. I'm just scrolling down from introduction. That seems like pretty simple. So rather than use the live time here, probably we can jump right into the second part. And if you could, I'm just looking at the chat now that Samad, you might have to deal with a little bit of the admin issue. But once you get that completed, I was hoping that you walk us a little bit through number two, and there's a part for recommendation, and we can jump into thinking what those recommendation, at least what direction that might be. Samad, just let us know if you can speak.
No, sir, I can come in. As far as very briefly first, there are now instead of six, there are eight different so we've split transition and terminology into two separate sections. As far as the first one is concerned, the transition, I eventually included as a reference point some of the recommendations which were already there on transition in the last version of the guidelines. And I guess a couple of questions to consider for everybody is that are there any guidelines there from last time which we want to carry forward? And then also whether we want to add on to whatever we are carrying forward and suggest something in addition. So those are possibly two considerations as far as the transition from IDNA 2008, from 2003 to 2008 are concerned.
Samad, I wasn't sure whether you dropped off or that was it.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Did you hear what I said, or would you want me to repeat?
No, I did hear what you said. It for some reason my audio had you close off relatively abruptly. Maybe the last few words wasn't coming out, but I think that should be fine. I see Dennis and Chris's hand up, so why don't I go to Dennis first?
Thank you, Edmund. I know the number two onwards is the most important part of the document, but I wanted to pause a little bit and suggest a few edits, and I have comments on the introduction that we may want to address and maybe reword some of it. So the first one is on the third line, that the guidelines are, and I'm just shortening the words, but designed to minimize the risk of cyber squatting. I'm not sure whether these guidelines will address even, or I don't know to what extent the IDN guidelines will help minimize cyber squatting. I think the ICANN RPMs will do some of that, but not sure how this will address that. So I would like to get some clarity if there is some direction into that. My second comment is on the binding part of the registries and registrars. So the reference that we are suggesting here are very new GTLD oriented and does not apply to other TLDs. So maybe we want to either remove the reference just to keep it, you know, binding for registries and registrars, and that should be clear because and agreements are different for every TLD. And also, I think we should, this is binding for registry and registrars of TLDs and a recommendation for CCTLDs. So I don't think we should just limit the recommendation to IDN CCTLDs, but also for all CCTLDs that offer IDNs at the second level. And those are my comments.
Thank you. I think those are very good comments. So why don't I guess we jump back? But I'll go to Chris and see if that's on number one or number two. Chris.
Hello. Can you hear me? Oh, good. Sorry, I'd muted myself by accident. So my comment is actually on current recommendation number two. It's actually, so at the moment we've got something about no code point permitted in IDNA 2003, but disallowed in IDNA 2008 will be accepted and all the rest of it. But I was thinking actually about the other way round. So it's not allowed in IDNA 2003, but allowed in IDNA 2008. And I was then thinking that there may be two categories there. So there might be one category where another script was added in IDNA 2008. So, you know, those points those code points we may want to permit. But there may be another category which we would really not be keen to permit because of the I think it's the stability principle.
Thank you, Chris. So I guess based on Dennis's suggestion, I'll jump back to the earlier introduction and then come back to your point. I think that it's very interesting and we'll probably think through what we recommend. But jumping back to introduction, my quick reaction to Dennis's suggestion or comments are two key aspects. One, we probably need, in fact, I wanted to use the mail list itself, but the first one is we should have a very short couple of sentences that says this is an initial report and to gather public comments and not come across as a final version. I understand it's kind of a drafted to as a starting point for us to discuss, but we should probably have a section zero that says this is a interim report for getting public comment. And then into the introduction, I think those three points are quite valid. The question then is whether we take away everything and make it really simple for the introduction and leave those issues to be as part of the meat of the document, or we try to work some of that into here. So I'd like to get a sense from I don't know whether, Dennis, you have suggestions or others have thoughts on which direction on some of these things we want to take for the introduction. Any takers? Dennis, you want to... You provided a few observations, I guess, but you have recommendations, or you actually kind of touched on taking them out or making changes. Would you want to elaborate further on that? Or are people hearing me? Make sure that
we can hear you.
Okay. I'm seeing no response on this. I guess my slight inclination may be to simplify it at least, and perhaps the whole first sentence, which is which does have some value, may need to be put somewhere else. But in terms of the issue of the contractual binding description, I think we probably should have something there, but we need for it to be accurate. What Dennis mentioned is correct. We also have the situation for CCTLDs. The whole sentence seems is pretty long and covers everything, but it doesn't quite cover it at the same level. My feeling also is that this part probably shouldn't be the immediate starting part of the introduction. It may be at the very end to describe, but that's just my personal view. Trying to see if anyone has any thoughts on that. Those two items, to not have what this is designed for, and to have the registrars, the binding part, put at the end or some other place in the document rather than right up front. Still no thought.
So this is Amar. I'd like to comment.
Please. Oh, sorry, I missed your hand. Sorry. Please.
Sure. I just want to make a couple of comments, I guess, explain the reason behind what's written here. So as far as the first sentence is concerned, this is more of a legacy text which has been coming through from previous versions. And obviously, I'm happy to edit it as the working group would like. As far as the second sentence is concerned, I agree that this point is valid, that the IDM guidelines are binding on registries which also have different contracts and registrars. So this is not a complete set, we can certainly either make that more explicit or just give these two as examples, probably stating that this is more generally applicable beyond these two cases. As far as the IDM CCTLDs are concerned, guidelines are concerned, these are mentioned in the fast track implementation plan through the IDNCCT and the fast track process. I'm not sure at this time whether these are recommended to general CCTLDs as well. That is something I would need to see. However, the current statement is based on the actual inclusion of IDP guidelines in the fast track implementation plan. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Noting that you said the first sentence is the legacy text, perhaps a way to handle it for this interim report would be kind of like how number two is done as current text, and then I'd like to see if Dennis would be willing to make any suggestion in terms of recommending it to be updated. I'm just noting that Satish in the chat is mentioning that the contractually binding part to separate it from here. I guess separate it, but also more importantly is to make it accurate, more accurate in terms of and try to cover the different scenarios. I'm pretty sure that the ASCII CCTLDs probably are not part of this, but there may be particular ones that I'm not sure, but it'd be useful to take a look at that. But I wonder if Dennis or others have any thoughts. If the first sentence is legacy text, are there suggestions to make edits or recommend changes to it?
Hi, Edmund. This is Dennis.
Yeah. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I had to step away for a few minutes. I was listening but wasn't able to talk because I was muted. I'm happy to take a step in reword number one with the notion that it's not an introduction to the – it will be an introduction to the draft work but not an introduction for the final – the spirit that this one has as a final guideline. I think that's where we are going.
Yeah, I think whenever we have legacy text, my suggestion is to call it out, and then you know we should say this will stay or this will be changed or this will be removed or something like that. That would be very easy for people to, you know, provide public comments, I guess, as well, and for us to track. So I take that as a kind of a volunteer to at least put some recommendations. Seeing no further discussion in that, I guess it's probably overreaching a little bit. I agree with you, Dennis, that it says minimize the risk of cyber squatting and those kind of things. I may be a little bit overreach, but it's kind of the what we hope to do. But I guess we should be more careful this case, as we go forward, because especially on the binding for some of the registries, so more binding than previously. So I guess the suggestion is really that we would, on the document itself, we'll call out the first sentence as legacy text, and then there will be a little recommendation, and I take it that Dennis will draft that, and we can come back to that, because I'm not seeing a lot of hands up to for the discussion.
Yeah, I'm okay. No, happy to do it.
Okay. I guess with that, then, the second paragraph in the introduction seems pretty straightforward. And for the interim guide, we should probably between this document supersedes, this probably should have some square brackets and say this document intends to supersede, you know, something like that, and just call out something for the interim version. The list of the participants.
This is just a question. What would you want to do with the second sentence? Do you want to shift it to the end of the document as you were suggesting, or you want to keep it here? And also, you know, do you want to take the references out or keep the references and add perhaps more text to indicate that there is a larger set of GTLDs which for which these are applicable?
I'm guessing for the time being, why don't we keep it here first? And because after we go walk through the whole document, we can decide whether we slot it somewhere else. But more important is to make it more accurate and cover and so the latter part of what you mentioned.
Okay.
So that should work. And I guess we don't need to go through the list unless somebody spots an error. I'm sure people will bring it up. So we jump back to number two, which Chris had a comment earlier on the current recommendation two. There are a couple other cases that you think may be useful to be included. Chris, I wonder if you can elaborate a little bit more on that. Those, to me, yes, there may be those cases, but they don't appear to be of consequence that some certain recommendations should be put in, unless you have something in mind.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So, sorry for jumping the gun. I misunderstood what we were dealing with before. So, okay, so basically, in the procedure, there is one of the calls, I think it's the stability principle, says that we have to be very careful with code points, which are different across different versions. Yes, I mean, as the recommendation stands, it's dealing with one scenario, but I think there may be two other scenarios where you've actually got a change, so something that's permitted in IDNA 2008, but not in 2003. And so that would be, in one situation, if it's just, if these are just code points which were not, you know, they're scripts which were not in the early, in 2003, then that may be all right. But if it's code points that, you know, that have become available for other reasons apart from being in a script that wasn't covered, then I think it's possibly those two situations.
Right, so either a new script that was added or some code points within a script that was kind of released.
Yes.
But the question is what kind of recommendation you want to give to those? Because this touches on a recommendation that if something is taken away, certain things need to be done. If something is added, the question is, you know, then people can use it. There's no grandfathering or whatever that needs to be considered.
So you know, I would say that in the case of code points which belong to scripts which were added, then those should generally be permitted. But in the case of other code points, those should probably be disallowed.
Okay. That's an interesting suggestion. I want to understand it a little bit better. So there are two possibilities where new copoints are allowed, maybe a whole new script, and you say that that you know we can leave alone. Of course, all the other things apply. It should be a language table, blah blah blah. But and there is additional characters that are allowed in 2008 and not allowed in 2003. You think that those characters should not be released?
Yes, that's right. Because they break that principle, so there is a principle that says this has to be, you know, these code points have to be stable over different iterations, and so by there being a change over two iterations or two versions, that would seem to break the principle. But in the case of a script which just wasn't available at all under 2003, then I guess, even in that case, we may want to give it the benefit of the doubt. We may want to be stricter than that.
Okay. I'm curious if other people have any thoughts. My immediate reaction is that might be a little bit too strict for this. There are cases, for you know, Chinese is a good case because there are characters added that is, you know, as Unicode is expanded too, but you can consider it the same script. And there may be characters that are actually useful. So my immediate reaction is that this might be a little bit too tight. But what perhaps we should do is to at least capture this as you know, one of the things that we're thinking about, at least for the interim report, we should of course deliberate a little bit more here, but this is definitely something we should probably include in the interim report and see if we get further comment back from on it. With that, any thoughts on what Chris just suggested in terms of additions to recommendation 2. Put your hand up or jump in.
Edmund, this is Dennis, if I may.
Please.
Yeah, so I want to have a clear picture of what Chris is suggesting. Because my understanding is that unlike IDNA 2003, which was locked in a version of Unicode, IDNA 2008 was designed to be Unicode version agnostic. The reality is that IDNA 2008 is now stuck in version 6, and there are issues with the next versions of Unicode, and that's why it's still stuck in 6, but it was designed to allow for other versions, to incorporate other versions of Unicode, let it be scripts or new code points, etc., etc. So what Chris is suggesting is that new code points or script tables are incorporated in the Unicode, and these code points are their characteristics are defined so that they are allowed per the protocol. They should not be allowed for domain names.
This is Edmund. Just to clarify, I think what Chris said was that if it's a whole new script, then his suggested recommendation, if a whole new script is added into Unicode or 2008, then that should be taken and that we can use it. His concern is that if there is a particular script, and if some characters are added, then Chris is suggesting that those added characters should not be permitted. Chris, did I get it correct?
Thank you, Edmund. Yes, that is yeah, that's what I said. And just to add some information, so this is particularly an issue. So I was presuming that IDNA 2008 will be stuck on Unix 6 forever. Yeah. If IDNA 2008 is Unicode version agnostic, then problem is far, far worse, because this then becomes an ongoing problem. So every time there's a new version of Unicode, new characters are brought in, and so the likelihood of that being different from the earlier IDNA then becomes higher. So you would almost have to sort of you'd have to be doing things like IDNA 2008 A, B, C, D, and then you might say, well, look, we've had this code point from IDNA 2008 D to F, so it's looking quite stable. But do you see what I mean? Because of that principle, what you can't do is add code points which haven't been in really preferably more than one version. And what isn't quite clear in my mind is whether if you get somebody adding a new script to Unicode and that then gets added to into IDNA 2008 version C, do we give it the benefit of the doubt and presume that everything's fine, we can just add those characters and domain names, or do we actually be more suspicious and we say, well, no, actually we'll wait for three mini versions of IDNA 2008 before we say, okay, this is not breaking that principle.
This is Edmund. That's rather interesting. But it seems to me that we may need to, I don't know whether this is the right place to do that, but we may need to split the thoughts for the level versus the second level. I think being such stringent, I guess, on the top level may make more sense than being so stringent on the second level. At least that's my immediate thinking. The whole idea for expanding the Unicode, the whole idea for allowing new characters is to support the use of those characters for the internet. And I don't think, at a second level registration, there should be a little bit more opportunity for people to register names. But I think, overall, I'm hoping others would chime in, and I'm guessing at least Matt would be keen to chime in as well. But seeing no other hands up at this moment and nobody jumping in, I guess it would be great if Chris, you could take this and draft some. There's a little recommendation at the bottom. Specifically on recommendation two, your thoughts on how we would update that to reflect your thoughts, and we can take it from there. All right, Chris, I see your hand up.
Yes. So again, this is something I've said during earlier calls. So it's just one thing which I feel strongly about. And that's the user experience becomes important, because I'm not saying that there cannot be difference between the top level and the second level, and between GTLDs and CCTLDs, and across different registries at second level and all of this, and then that's going to happen. But you know, every time we have these differences, the user experience becomes more difficult because the users effectively have to remember, oh, can I use this character in this situation or not, which is really horrible stuff. So that's, you know, that's why, you know, I think, you know, even though we are at the second level, we have to bear in mind that every time we make the rules more complicated, it's putting weight on the users, and it's actually making the system more difficult to use in some ways.
And by users here, you mean registrants, because end users depend on whether the data is registered.
No, actually, I did mean just ordinary internet users. You know, because what you don't want is a situation where you can do something in a particular situation, but you can't in another. Or at least, you know, you can have that situation, but you know, I would say that you really need to have some quite basic rules so that people aren't just guessing.
Okay, Samad, I see your hand up.
Yes, I was just following up on Chris's comment and also your comment that particular, recommendation may be too conservative. One possibility, another possibility is that we suggest that even though IDNA 2008 standard automatically includes characters with changing versions of Unicode, one of the things which registries could do is instead of having automatic algorithms which update the repertoire, if they make a change in the IDN table, it should be considered by the registry explicitly rather than just doing it automatically and algorithmically. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that seems to be a good kind of middle ground in some ways, but I would guess that most of the language tables should not be numeric, right? I mean, and maybe that's something we need to, when we get to the language table part, perhaps add to with what Chris is concerned about. But before the couple of interventions, I guess the suggestion here is if Chris, you could help draft something to be inserted under the recommendation part in this section for recommendation, you know, for the revision, that might be useful for us to then come back and discuss further. Is that?
Yeah, I'll do that.
that's great. And with that, any other thoughts on the four recommendations, like 1, 2, 7, and 8 from earlier version, that we want to revisit? I'm guessing Mats would have ideas on this. So before we move on, I guess we can move on for this particular call, but I'd like to have his thoughts on this because he's particularly keen, especially on moving to 2008. One topic is on current recommendation 1. It specifically spells out that both 2003 and 2008 will be in parallel use in applications for an indeterminate transitional period. I wonder if we want to take that out and make recommendation 1 really just that registry should just comply with the the 5000 series. The I love the way Chris says IDNA. This is the first time I heard it being referred to as IDNA 2003 and IDNA 2008. I still find it easier for IDNA 2008. But anyway, so for current recommendation one, I think we can probably simplify that. I would sort of recommend simplifying that to just, you know, state that registries must apply, abide by the IDNA 2008, the 5000 series. Thoughts? Hearing no.
No. I tend to agree, Edmund. No, I tend to agree with your recommendation, Edmund. This should be just.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Just focus on the 5000 series.
Okay. That seems to be a direction. Any other thoughts on 7 or 8? Does that mean we keep all of that? I am guessing that is the direction. If that's the case, then I guess I'm happy to provide some suggestion on recommendation one, and Chris will provide some suggestion on recommendation two, and we'll come back to this. But I did see Jane's hand up. Did you want to have the floor?
Yeah. Edmund, did you send out this document before the meeting? I think it will be more efficient for us to have a prior preparation for the document, because now it's hard just to read through all the recommendation and give an immediate response. I think it will be better to have more time to review the document before the meeting. That's just a suggestion.
Thank you, Jen. I think Samad did send it around a little bit earlier, but it wasn't that much earlier. But fair statement, I guess. Again, that's why I guess we'll do that. But these are current recommendation means they are in the previous version of the, well, actually, current version of the AN guidelines, not our recommendation going well, it will become part of our recommendation going forward, but just want to make sure that's clarified. Samad, this was circulated earlier, right?
It was circulated yesterday, so Jan, you haven't received it, then I guess we can take it offline. But yes, it was sent out late just yesterday.
Okay. So, but yeah, it was just sent out yesterday, so I'm also reading it live. And we probably, you know, again, this is not definitive. We'll probably have to come back further. So, looking at the time, we're almost at the top of the hour, but I just want to take a quick look at the terminology part, if there is any basically just jumps to Appendix A. So, it seems like something that we can discuss when we get to Appendix A. Dennis?
Yeah, I was going to suggest, as far as terminology section, that, yeah, I mean, I think we need to, I don't think we need a section of 2.2 terminology. The glossary should suffice. And let's work the glossary at the very end and just define the terms that we actually use in the document, rather than having an inventory of potential terms and then define, and then we have to scrap the ones that we don't use. So I think my suggestion is, let's come back once we have everything in place, and let's define the terms that are actually in use in the guidelines.
Thank you. I actually have a slightly different thought. I think we should work through Appendix A for sure, as you said. Whether we want to remove this completely, it really depends on what the outcome is. I have some thought, and, you know, some terminology that we should probably actually add back to this section as more definitive way, because looking at some of the terminology, there may be reasons for us to make less ambiguous certain words, like just the word variant, right? I mean, I'm still interested to see if people would agree that we, you know, moving forward, you know, always call it IDN variant versus generally when we refer to variants, because when we talk about variants, some people think it's the whole string variant, which is a, you know, same meaning thing, and then when we define IDN variant, it's all based, if we define it all based on the tables, then we can just defer it to the LGR, and, you know, that's the result of putting a string into LGR and what you get out of. And we can create that kind of definition, then we can, we may have a collection of terminology that going forward would make things much clearer, what we may be talking about. This is a little bit of pipe dream I have. We may not come to consensus on that. So I don't want to throw away this terminology section just yet. That's kind of my view. But if we end up not having those, then I probably would agree with Dennis that we could take this away and we just refer to the glossary. Okay, we are past the top of the hour right now, and I'm not seeing any more hands up. We have a little bit of action items on number one from introduction from Dennis, and then recommendation two from Chris, and recommendation one, I would send something in before our next meeting. And since we kind of decided we'll keep the time, Samad, please do outreach to at least the couple of chairs and Lutbian as well, and see if we could get more people to participate next time as well. And we'll pick it up from 2.3 next time, unless during which time the mailing lists become crazy on the previous items again. With that, any people have any urgent issue to voice out? Hearing none, thank you everyone for joining, and we'll Jan mentioned, please do utilize the mailing list. We should get that started when we make our suggestions kind of homework, and we'll talk to everyone again in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.